So it has been done. It's just that you, the mindset that you have by going in and taking wrestlers and saying, hey guys, I want you to go in and do this work shoot, when they don't want any of the shoot part into it, they just want the work part into it, it won't work.
What's up, Bengal fans? It's your host, Joey Carney. I want to thank you for clicking on this video. It was an amazing experience, and I can't wait for you to see the full interview. Now, if you haven't already, don't forget to like, subscribe, and comment down below your favorite part at the end of the video. Now, enjoy the show.
Let's go, let's go!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Angle Podcast. I am here with one of the most decorated athletes of all time. He's a risk taker, a boundary breaker, probably one of the most well-known badasses of all time. The world's most dangerous man, ladies and gentlemen, Ken Shamrock. How you doing? How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm doing well, man. Thank you.
I appreciate you taking the time to come on and talk some wrestling, talk about your career.
Yeah, let's do it.
There's so much going on today, current pandemic. How has that really affected your training, your mindset, and overall your career?
Oh, you know, this is minor compared to what I went through in my life, right? I mean, there's all kinds of different obstacles that I had to overcome and to be able to get to where I'm at today. So, you know, I kind of approached this the same way I did everything else that is – came up and had been an obstacle in my life. So I just worked through it, you know, find ways to try to, you know, keep yourself at a high level and to be able to create opportunities for yourself. Even when things are not going good, you know, you got to always keep pushing forward and trying to create great opportunities for yourself. And the way that happens is, man, is you just keep moving forward and you keep working hard and things will come.
Of course. And that's kind of in the same line as what the wrestling world has really done, reacting probably the quickest and probably the best out of a lot of other sports, especially in the combat sports, really not really skipping a beat in this pandemic. How do you, or what are your thoughts on how pro wrestling has reacted to this entire situation?
Yeah, you know, I thought they did a great job. And, you know, I think most of the organizations have done well, but I thought Impact – if you look at the scenario in which they had to overcome, there was an article written about guys that had some sexual assault charges and some abuse stuff. And, and of course, immediately Impact took action and got rid of those people. But some of those people, you know, there was five or six people that were in pretty good roles. Therefore lost that. And of course, they went to work, went out, and in my opinion, we gotten better. The talent has gotten better. And then of course, working through at the same time with this Kung Flu virus, the pandemic, where, you know, it's like they continue to keep getting better even through this adversity. And where I thought it's like WWF and AEW and all of them have kind of just been holding the line, right? Like they've just been making it happen. But I think Impact has actually gotten better and has moved forward in creating more of an interest in their organization. So, you know, I'm not taking anything away from anybody else, but, when you look at it all the way across the board, I thought Impact has really done the best through all this, where they've really – Not just toed the line, but they've gotten better. They've actually made more noise within the wrestling world than anybody else has during this pandemic and during that crisis where we were losing some of our stars due to some things that had happened early on in their lives. And so I look at that. I look at it in a whole, and I think, you know what, man, these guys earned the right to be recognized. That organization, Impact, earned the right to be recognized as doing a terrific job during this time.
No, I have to agree with you, especially bringing in, like you said, the sexual altercations that had happened, tying that all in together. Impact, like you said, really stepping it up, pushing harder than they were before, and really coming out on the other end successful. a bigger roster, more eyes on the product overall. So that is very true. I think during this pandemic also, Impact is really on the radar out of a lot of wrestling fans. Before, it's you have AEW and WWE at the top, and kind of Impact was in the middle there, swaying back and forth. But really, I think they're a big-time player right now, at least, especially with everything going on, with the stacked roster, with the shows you guys have been putting on. I mean, everything has really, really stepped up, and it's been a pleasure to be able to, as a wrestling fan, witness all of that happening.
Yeah, you know, again, it goes from the top down. You know, organization has definitely went out and they've gotten the people that we've needed to be able to put on the performances that we need to put on in the ring. So they've gotten us the opponents that we need, the talent that we need. And so then now it's up to us to go in there and put the product out so that the fans are enjoying it. So I think everybody is really doing a great job and working hard through this adversity. Like I said, I think, you know, all in all, we've done a tremendous job if you look across the board of what things that they've had to deal with. So I'm very happy to be here, you know, and it's excited coming up, you know, on the 24th, this coming month. I'm going to be inducted in the Hall of Fame. And so, you know, along with having a match against Eddie Edwards, who is a guy that doesn't give up, takes a lot of abuse, which is, I don't mind giving it. So if you'll take it, I'll give it. So it's going to be fun, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Definitely a big week, a weekend ahead of you. We're going to jump into the Hall of Fame in a little while, but I do want to ask you a question. I think probably in most interviews that you've had, you've been asked this question, and really, how did Ken Shamrock become the world's most dangerous man? Where did that originally stem from?
Yeah, you know, this is back in the earlier days when I was already over in Japan and I had fought over there and I became the champion there, the first foreigner champion in the mixed martial arts over there. And then they started doing it here, which was no holds barred. It was that kind of another step up. And so I decided I was going to do that. So during this time where I was in Japan and also in this world no holds barred, they were, and it was the very beginning of it. And so they were really looking, they were doing these stories on the world's most dangerous animals, the world's most dangerous food, you know, places, and then the person. And there was a lot of candidates in there that they were looking at, you know, and I mean, you know, you had guys like Mike Tyson, you know, that at one time was considered the world's most baddest man. And so there were a lot of names that were available during that time. And then I was the one they picked. I was afraid of it because of the atmosphere that we were in during that time, where people were saying we were just brutal and we were animals and they thought we were just bad people. And it was a horrible event. And they didn't understand the techniques and all the stuff into doing what we were doing. So when they came to me with it, I was like, yeah, well, you know, I got, you know, three kids that are in school. Young kids, and I got a family I have to protect. What are you guys trying? What are you portraying? Because I didn't know exactly how they were coming at it with. And when they explained it to me, I was like, okay, I mean, this is great. They wanted to shed light on who we were as people. Like, I mean, we didn't come out of prison, or we weren't living on the streets begging to go in and beat people up. And, you know, we were normal people, school teachers, you know, coaches, counselors, firemen, policemen, you know, all these normal people. You know, I happen to be a person who I ran a home with at-risk kids, where I help kids develop and become, you know, important in life and find ways in life to be important. So it was really a good piece because it made us human. That people didn't know who we were or where we came from before that. So that's how I got the world's most dangerous man, was through that piece that they'd done.
Wow, that's I actually had never heard that story. I've read things before, but that, I mean, that's a really great story. Now, kind of fast forwarding years ahead, a year or so ago, you signed back up with Impact Wrestling. You've had altercations with Moose, Sami Callihan, the North, recently for the tag team titles. Now with Eddie Edwards, how has, in your mindset, the wrestling world changed since the last time that you were a part of it?
Oh, I'm not sure the question. You talk about when I was in WWF or the start of Impact, when I first came into Impact, or when I just recently came back to Impact?
Well, you were in wrestling years ago, and you kind of took a step away from it. So I guess comparing from the first time you were there, or the last time that you were there, compared to now.
Yeah, you know, I think the people are a little more serious about wrestling now. You know, back when I first started into it, they were serious about it, but there was also a lot of playing going on, a lot of stuff outside the ring that was happening. But I don't see that now. I see that these wrestlers are all more serious about their craft, and that they're not wasting their time there or jeopardizing their time. They're not wasting it because everybody goes in and puts their best foot forward when they get in the ring. But it's outside that ring, and the time off, what do you do with that? And I think in the earlier days, people were definitely playing a lot, having a good time, as opposed to now. I think people are actually taking it serious, and then they're improving their skill sets on their downtime. If they're not spending time with their family or friends or just, you know, hanging out and having fun, they're actually thinking about their craft. They're actually trying to be better at it. And so it's a lot more challenging now. And you see that the actual stuff that you're seeing in the ring now is so much more technical than it was back then.
Of course. And that kind of transitions into the next question that I was trying to get at. And that's at this stage in your career, being a veteran, both in MMA and wrestling, professional wrestling, what really keeps you excited or, in a sense, motivated to keep competing?
I think it's just something that's built into me, man. I mean, I think life, it's not just a certain part of your life that you live, right? It seems like people have this concept of, you know, when you get into your retirement years, you're 60, 67, that you now all of a sudden you can sit back and enjoy life. You don't have to do anything. But when that happens, you don't enjoy life. It seems like you're going to the doctors every day or to a checkup every day because you're not taking care of yourself. You're not out doing anything. You're literally just sitting home watching TV. And you think that this thing that you've been taught in your head for so long is when you retire, you don't have to work anymore. But when you stop working, or when you stop trying to do things to better yourselves or improve your life, then you start getting depressed, or you don't take care of yourself. Your body isn't functioning properly because you're not out doing anything and circulating your blood, and you just get lazy and lay down and get heavy, and you know, you start having complications. So, you know, to me, that's one thing where, you know, especially as you start getting older and stuff like that, that you don't take for granted that 60 is over or 65 is over. It's not, man. It's just another journey. And I've always challenged myself to be better. And even at my age now, I still have so much more that I feel like I can give. And so I'm going to continue to keep doing that no matter how old I get. I'm always going to try to push that button so that people look at it and go, well, that's not the norm. And because I believe that you live till the day you die. That's my motto.
Yeah. It's more, I think age is more of a mindset. It's just a number where you kind of make it mean whatever you want it to. And you're doing just that. I mean, doing what you're doing today in the ring, you don't see many other professional wrestlers doing that. And that's something to really look at and compete with, in a sense. But it's also another way of boundary breaking that you've done before. And, you know, that kind of goes along the way of paving this way for other big stars like we've seen, like Brock Lesnar, we've seen Ronda Rousey, Kurt Angle, all start in other combat sports and make their way into professional wrestling. So what does it mean to have those stars kind of look at you and say, well, he did it first and we're kind of following what he did?
Yeah, I mean, I'm first of all, I'm honored that, you know, that they look at me, and I appreciate it, because I did do it first, and there was some sacrifices that I made to do it first. I took a lot of heat. I had issues within my own fighting gym, the Lion's Den, where guys were turning on me, because I went into pro wrestling. They didn't realize the reason because it was none of their business, but I couldn't pay the bills for them to continue to keep training. So I had to go do something else so that they could still stay in the den, still train and go have a career. I had group home boys that I was taking care of, which was a whole nother house I had to pay for. I had my own home. So I had three different homes plus three different gyms that I was supporting. And I couldn't, in the world of MMA, they weren't able to pay me what I needed to get paid. So I had to make that move over into pro wrestling. And so I, fortunately, Vince, you know, gave me a great contract. I was able to continue on with the training of my fighters and being able to take care of the fighters in the fighter's house and all the gyms that I had, and also my family and the group home for the boys. I was able to keep all of that going and be able to keep everybody happy. But the sacrifice that I made was that I wasn't able to fight anymore. I had to go do pro wrestling. Fortunately for me, I fell in love with pro wrestling, and it was something that I completely enjoyed doing once I got into it. It was awesome. I really enjoyed it. And because of that, guys like Brock Lesnar and, you know, Kurt Angle coming from the Olympic Games, and a lot of these other guys coming from MMA, Ronda Rousey, they don't have to go through what I went through, where the fans were going from the MMA world selling, "You're selling out," and they were all calling me all kinds of names, and it was bad. It was a bad situation. But I believed in myself to know that, you know, success conquers all. And as long as I could be successful and good at it, it would all be better. And that's what I bet on. I bet on that I was going to be able to be successful at it. And I was. And I'm glad, because I wouldn't be able to be sitting here talking with you about it right now if I wasn't.
Of course. And you kind of stepped into the WWF at the time, now WWE. You stepped in there at probably one of the greatest eras the company or the wrestling world has ever seen, the Attitude Era. You were in a class of Stone Cold, The Rock, Bret Hart, Triple H. What did it mean for you to kind of make that transition, but then compete at that high level, just transitioning so nicely in front of the crowd, even though taking a lot of heat and going what you went through? What did it mean to be in that class of performers?
Yeah, well, first of all, I didn't step into a good situation. I stepped into a bad situation, which means that all their stars had left, and that they were over at WCW, and that they were getting killed in the ratings. We were not in a good position when I got there. But thank goodness that Vince had an idea to, you know, take the gloves off, per se. And that when I came in, he was looking to put an edge on pro wrestling and go out there and try to turn it into something that I think wrestling is in the first time. It's just entertainment as opposed to being real. He brought me in with the Attitude, and it was able to rub off on being able to create characters like the Stone Cold Steve Austin and the Goldberg, you know, different characters like that. And then, of course, Bret Hart. It solidified and it literally gave it credibility that this was an Attitude Era. I wasn't the main focus. I was not the main character during that. But me being there definitely gave it legitimacy.
Yeah. So when you were, you eventually made your way out of WWE and kind of out of pro wrestling, what did you, why did you decide to kind of leave the WWE, go back to MMA? What was that whole train of thought?
Well, it was a couple reasons. One, I felt there's a lot of things that had happened, the Bret Hart thing, you know, where, you know, it just didn't feel right with what happened. And then all of a sudden I was getting beat all the time, which, you know, I don't mind that. But when it seems like it's constant and it's turning in a different direction that we were used to going, you know, I didn't come in and have them build the Ken Shamrock name, the world's most dangerous man. I came in with that name already built. And not to say that's what they were doing, but I started to feel like I was losing that character, like constantly going out there and getting beat. It felt like the name that I came in with and the credibility I came in with was being hurt. And so I ended up making the decision that I was going to go ahead and walk away from it. Thankfully, me and Vince were able to come to terms with that, be able to work something out, and I was able to walk away and go back to what I was doing and literally finish up my career in MMA, because I felt like I had more to give, and I did, you know, but I lost more than I won. But I felt like it was something I had to do in order for me to be comfortable with the rest of my life. I needed to make sure that I put an explanation point on my career there, and that I knew that it was over. Not that everybody else did, but that I knew it was over.
I think out of most athletes, probably of all time, you have one of the most authentic careers where you can see the competition in you. I mean, everywhere you've been top level. So, I mean, to be able to leave the way you did with your pride, and not a lot of wrestlers today get that option. We saw it earlier with the pandemic. A lot of them released because of the pandemic. So to be able to leave like that, I think is really something to look at in a really positive way. So I do commend you for that. Now, all these years later, away from the WWE, do you look at it as unfinished business? What's your current, or have you had any relations with the company?
No. You know, I mean, there's been some talks about maybe coming in and doing something, but I haven't directly had contact with them. But I know that they're at one time that their my name had been brought up to do some sort of a guest spot in there. And like I said, I think that that as long as things keep going the way I want them to go, especially with Impact, and you know, obviously I was first champion there, and now being inducted in the Hall of Fame there, the company's growing, it's getting bigger all the time, and of course I'm a big part of that, along with a lot of other people, including the people in the office and the promoters and all of them. We're all a part of making this thing big, and so right now I'm comfortable where I'm at. I think that I'm in a great spot. I'm blessed to be where I'm at at my age, be able to still go out there and compete with these guys and be able to have fun with them and then challenge them. I love it. And I love where I'm at. And not to say if something happens down the road, you know, that it's not, a possibility's not there. It is. It's always there as an athlete. You know, and you're always going to be ready for new challenges. But right now, where I'm at now, my focus is on that 23rd and 24th this month of going out there and really putting an explanation point on who I am and how long it's taken me to get to where I needed to be to feel like I could be competitive. And I feel like I'm there right now. And, you know, the 24th, I'm going to show that. You know, I'm going to show people, hey, the things you saw before that, even though it was all good, it was knocking the rust off, man. I got so much more to prove. I got such a, that was my floor when I first came in. All the way up until now, you've just seen the floor. My ceiling's still yet to come.
I really did enjoy the feud you had with Sami Callihan because he's a unique individual, a unique performer in his own right. And to see someone completely opposite, like you come in and just mesh so well, that was just probably one of my favorite feuds of the entire year thus far. And then to see you guys kind of join forces, go after the tag titles, not necessarily leave with those titles, but really change focus now, head back to Eddie Edwards, former Impact heavyweight champion. How does his in-ring ability or his in-ring style counter yours in a sense?
Well, let me talk to him about Sammy first. You know, me and Sammy, I respect what Sammy has done in wrestling, and I respect his mind, his thought. He's got a great mind for wrestling. Yeah. But at the same time, doesn't mean like we're best buddies. You know what I mean? Like, you know, there are things that he does that I don't like, but I got to give credit where credit's due. I mean, like, he says things, and this one thing that I appreciate about him is that he'll tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. And a lot of times people look at him like he's a heel or a bad guy, but he's telling the truth. If you look at what he's saying, it is the truth. The way he's saying it may make you mad, but it's the truth. And that's something that you can't take away, and that's something that I see. And even though I was getting mad, I was man enough to go, he's right. What he's saying is right. You know, and I need to fix it. And of course, some of the things that he said to me behind closed doors, and I mean, obviously we had our nose to nose But the things that he's saying to me is like, you know, you got to be you. Stop playing around with these goofballs, and you got to go out and be you. You got to go out and be the world's most dangerous man. Stop messing with these clowns. And, you know, he's right. I mean, it's not the nicest way to say it, but like I said, stop looking at how he's saying it and just look at what he's saying, and you're going to get the truth. And so for me, it's really good to be in this position and to be able to feel like I can let go and go be me and find myself. I think I'm there now. And then to get in there with Eddie Edwards, you know, that guy, I mean, I don't know if it's true or not true, but he's, you know, just the things that I've been hearing, you know, I mean, it pisses me off, you know. So, you know, when it comes to the 24th, we'll step in, and he's going to get me, Ken Shamrock. He's going to get a beatdown. Whether he says he can take, and I can see it, he's a tough guy. I mean, he took everything to the face, and he just keeps coming. So I know he's a tough guy. I know he can take a lot of pain, and I'm gonna give it to him. I'll be happy to give it to him.
I'm excited to see that match. I mean, this is a kind of a feud that's been brewing for a little while now. Like I said, coming back from Sami Callihan. But what I'm more focused on, what I'm more invested in, is what's going to be happening earlier on in the night. Bound for Glory, Impact's biggest event of the year. Not only are you competing on the show, but you're going into the Hall of Fame. And I know the Hall of Fame is something that most people would say is inevitable for Ken Shamrock, even in the WWE side. You've done it with MMA. What does it mean to now go into another Hall of Fame? Especially at this stage in your career where you're on the card in a main match going into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure there's too many people that can say that, right? I mean, it's fun. You know, like I said, I look at it, man, and I'm truly blessed, but I look at it really, you know, I put the work in. I mean, I got the desire to be great. I don't want to be just a normal guy that it fades off into the sunset and everybody forgets about me. It's not going to happen. I mean, I'm going to keep making noise as long as I can. I'm going to keep competing as long as I can. Being inducted in the Hall of Fame basically puts an exclamation point on my career with Impact. And being still in conversations all the time about people saying, when is Ken Shamrock going to be inducted in the WWF Hall of Fame? And, you know, those are things that I cannot control. I don't have control over those, so I can't worry about myself. When people ask me, what do you feel about not being inducted in the Hall of Fame? I don't feel anything because I don't have control over that. Yeah. I know what I've done there. I know the fans have known what I've done there. And I know that the people in charge know what I've done there. But I don't have control over that. So I'm going to appreciate what I do have control over. And that's me being inducted into the Impact Hall of Fame. And I'm going to enjoy that for a short period of time. And then I'm going to go beat up on Eddie Edwards.
Your legacy is one that lives on, even if you're not in that company, like the WWE, WWF, because of the things that you've done, the boundaries, the walls that you've broken, but also the movesets you have too. And that goes along the lines of the ankle lock, which a lot of superstars use today. We've seen it done by Kurt Angle, Jake Hager, formerly known as Jack Swagger. They've really replicated that move over the years. I know you get asked that a lot in all your interviews, but who do you believe, other than yourself, does it the best in the world of professional wrestling?
You know, it's hard to say. All those guys, they've got great minds, right? I mean, yeah. You know, they just know how to set that up and put it on at the right time to get the crowd to just pop. So, I give credit to all of them that have, because it's not easy to do. It's a shoot move. So it's not something that's easy to do. So just them guys going and actually trying to learn how to do that move means that they have to actually go do it and learn it live, because you can't just walk through it and learn it. You got to go and actually do it and have somebody do it to you. Then you got to turn around and do it to somebody else. And therefore, you have to learn how to do that properly while you're doing it to somebody live. So for me, any of those guys that are using it, my hat's off to them, because they've got to work to be able to get that move and to learn that move. So my hat's off to them. And people always say, well, aren't you upset you're using your move? I'm like, how do you get upset about it? I mean, every move that has been done is, even in wrestling today, somebody did it first. So when you're using it now, that means you've done it that somebody else does. So all that is basically a compliment saying that you, like being in the Hall of Fame, yep, that will be remembered forever because you did it first, period.
Of course. No, and I think that's a great mindset to keep because a lot of the performers, they say it's like wrong to use someone else's move. But like you said, it's a compliment. It's kind of continuing that legacy, building off of what someone did before you. I tend to agree with that. I think it's a compliment. Right. Exactly like you said.
As long as they're not doing it, like if I was there and Kurt Angle went in and did it in a match before mine, then yeah, that would be a little bit disrespectful because you didn't talk about it or ask somebody. Maybe it was leading up into an angle or something like that, which would have been fine. Yeah. But if you just go and do that, and I was the one that was doing it, and then you go ahead and jump in and do it in a match before mine, of course, those are things that you don't do. But after you're over and you're away from it, and somebody else jumps in and goes, hey, man, that was a real cool move, and they use it, you should be honored because that keeps your name alive because everybody's going to remember that you were the one that did it first. So that's a huge compliment.
There's a topic that's going around pro wrestling. It's positive, negative feedback. Raw Underground. I know that you tweeted out to Shane McMahon about it. It seems like it's been canceled or put on hold. I'm not sure what's going on with it. Really hasn't been anything said about it. What are your thoughts on that whole segment?
It's hard to do because you can't go in and do a match like that without getting your head knocked off.
Yeah.
In order for it to be good, to look good. Yeah. So really you're going in there and you're fighting each other. I mean, that's what it is. And when you get to the finish, then you got one guy that's predetermined to win.
Yeah.
But doesn't mean that guy's going to make it to the finish because you're both going after one another in between that. So you have to be able to protect yourself enough not to get knocked out or submitted before the finish comes up. So that's why they didn't look so good doing it, is because they're trying to do pro wrestling shoot moves.
Yep.
And you can't do it. It's just like when they're striking one another, you can't hold back. You got to hit them. Obviously, you're just sparring with them. So when you see guys sparring, it looks like a fight. But the thing about sparring is one guy's going into a fight, so you're not turning your punches over and trying to hurt them. Doesn't mean they won't get knocked out if they don't keep their hands up, because they will. So it's real punches coming in. You're just not throwing them real hard. You're throwing 80%. So you're not trying to knock a guy out. So that's why it doesn't look good. You got to get the right mindset, and you got to get the right two guys with the mindset to go in and do a match like that in order for it to get over. So what you're doing is basically putting on a fight in a wrestling match.
Literally just taking off the ropes and saying, go at it. It was done as a way, I guess, to bring in viewers to the third hour of Monday Night Raw. But my issue with it was that they didn't give these guys and girls enough time. I feel like it was a very quick thing, like quick knockouts or quick finishes, where some of them didn't even get full finishes. They just stop it. Like, I wasn't really sure what was going on. I think it could work if it was done properly. Especially bringing someone like you into
it has worked. You look at the UWF, the very first one to do it. Yep. UWF was a wrestling organization. It was a shoot wrestling organization. Fujiwara Gumi was a shoot wrestling organization. So it has been done. It's just that the mindset that you have by going in and taking wrestlers and saying, hey guys, I want you to go in and do this work shoot, when they don't want any of the shoot part into it, they just want the work part into it, it won't work.
No, I agree with you. Over your career in WWF and Impact and everywhere else around the world you've been, you face a lot of people. Is there a dream opponent or someone that you can say that's one person that I would like to compete, or however you take that question, one person you can say in pro wrestling that comes to mind when you think of a dream match?
Yeah, wrestling is real easy for me. It was Goldberg. You know, I just felt like his character meshed a lot with who I am. And I thought it would have been a really great match for us to be able to, and he worked pretty stiff. So I would have been, I thought we would have had a great match. So, but unfortunately he was in the other organization at the time and we weren't able to do that match, but man, I still have confidence someday we might be able to get that one done. I've always said it, you know, I think Goldberg, his character, his style, all of that with my style, man, it would have been, I think it would have been a really, really good match.
That is actually a really interesting one. As soon as you said his name, I felt like a light go off in my head. Goldberg and Ken Shamrock, very, very similar in a sense, aggressive fighters. I'd pay to see it.
Yeah.
And I definitely think that's definitely not off the table. There's still, like you said, a chance that that can happen. And I think personally that may happen. That sounds like a marquee match to me.
Yeah, it would be, like I said, it's one of those ones I'd love to have. Obviously, it's not to say is that, you know, other guys that I would have loved to have been able to go in with, like, you know, Hulk Hogan or Scott Hall, or Kevin Nash. I mean, I could go on. There's a lot of guys out there that I would have loved to have been able to work with. But as far as styles, you know, of really meshing and working, I think that Goldberg is one of the ones that would be right at the top.
Yeah. No, like I said, that would be a dream match in a sense for you, but also the fans too. And I think he'd probably have some interest in that as well. I think that would be a good
one. Yeah, Goldberg's a tough guy, man. You look at the way his matches, man, he's very aggressive, and that's my style.
Yeah. Still competing at a high level like you, so I definitely think that that one is not off the table fully. But when you think about your life, you think about your career, when you wake up in the morning, what are the main things that stick out to you most about your career and your life? Like those accomplishments or those pillars in your life that you can say, you know what, when my time is done here, this is my legacy.
Yeah, you know, I think that something that I have really, really excited that I was able to do and that'll never change is that getting the credit for it, you know, because it was a lot of things and a lot of sacrifices that I had to make to be able to be in a position to achieve those goals. Lost my first family because I was so busy training. I was working, trying to get to where I wanted to be. So you know, it was a sacrifice that was made. So for me to be, you know, recognized because of those sacrifices that I made, you know, first one would be over in Japan, you know, where I spent most of my time over there crafting my leg locks and, you know, getting into a tournament, a 16-man tournament, a 2-day tournament for people all over the world to be able to crown a champion in the Pancrase organization, the very first one in mixed martial arts, the first in Japan in mixed martial arts. And I won that tournament. And so that's something that will never change. My name will be on that belt. My name will be on that trophy. I will always be the first in that Pancrase organization as the first champion. And the other one is the UFC, you know, where I went in there and I competed. I lost some to Hoist. I remember when I lost the first one, I came back and said, no, that's going to happen again. I fought him the second time. It didn't happen again. Even with all the experience that he had and the experience I didn't have, I was able to bring that all the way out into a draw, even though I thought I won the fight. And I think everybody else thought I won the fight, but because of the way the rules were at the time, I didn't get credit for that. But nevertheless, when I went back to it, I fought Dan Severn, who had won the Ultimate. He was ranked number one in the world. I was the underdog going into that fight, even though I was at the time the one that had basically had dominated the super fight. But yet I didn't get credit for being that guy. Like, I stood above everybody else. Like, you had to win the tournament to fight me. But yet when Severn came into it, he was the one that was favored. And I kept thinking to myself, what are they looking at? It's like, I don't know what they're looking at. I mean, I proved myself. So I had to go back in there with the super fight. Even though what I did to Hoist, they didn't count that. So I had to go back when I fought Dan. And to be able to prove that, and I choked him out in a minute and 46 seconds, something like that, something 4 minutes, something like that. It was real short. I choked him unconscious, just literally choked his ass out. And And he was favored in every sports magazine, everything, and I dominated him. And so I became the very first super fight champion, which means a single fight, which all the belts go through that single fight now. Yeah. So I was the very first at that. And then to be the first one, and a lot of, like I said, you talked about some of the challenges and some of the things that I had to give up to get there, you know, being the first to be going from in the MMA world, or the fighting world, going into pro wrestling and being successful at that, and being able to pave the road there, and now seeing it still happen. It's almost like that's what everybody does now. It's like, if you were a fighter and you maybe get an injury or something like that, and you can't do it as at the high level anymore, you go to pro wrestling. Yeah. So, I'm happy. I'm glad I was able to do that. Those are things that I'm happy for. But as far as my legacy, right, it hasn't been written yet. I think that was all things that were done for me to be able to put me in a position to be able to really cement my legacy. And that is that I want people to remember that Ken Shamrock was somebody that was there to help other people. And that's why I have the Valor BK fighting. That's why I'm bringing a league out, because I want other fighters to be able to follow their dreams and be able to succeed in something that they love doing. And so I'm going to bring that out so that we're able to have other guys be able to feel what I felt. Right. And then also too, with my ministry and working with at-risk kids, being able to give kids an opportunity to find out who they are and be able to attack things that they love, to be able to vent their frustrations and anger in something that they love doing.
Of course. No, and I think that's really something to admire, especially being the Ken Shamrock, one of the biggest badasses ever, but also showing the softer side, like you said, doing the things with the kids, creating opportunities for other people. I think all of those things, you've kind of covered all your bases around you, where your legacy is probably one of the greatest from all athletes, I think, of all time. So that is really something to admire there.
I do. Well, and too, we talk about, you know, the legacy hasn't been written yet. Yeah. I've always believed this, that we were all put on this earth to help one another. Yeah. But the only way you could do it at a very high level is if you become successful yourself, because nobody's going to listen to you. You're not gonna be able to help a lot of people if you're not that person that people look up to. And so, you know, I'm in the process now of actually cementing that legacy, cementing that position to be where I'll be able to go out and help other people. And part of that right now is going out and being inducted into the Hall of Fame with Impact, because I always were with the UFC, and now and then when I get my opportunity with the WWF, but it's also now still competing. It's like going out there and competing at a high level at my age, so people look at it and go, man, that guy is credible. Yeah. Because it gives me a platform to be able to reach out to all these kids who may not listen to a person with a suit and tie on, or a probation officer or a counselor, because they think they're all quacks, even though they're not. Someone can help you.
Yeah.
But it gives me a platform that the door opens up for me to be able to talk with them because of who I am. So it's all still being written, but my plan is to be able to be that guy. But I got to get to where I need to go before I can get those doors open, so I can start helping people at a much higher level.
Of course. And that was kind of leading into my next thing, where you've done all these things, you've competed everywhere at such high levels. What's left in your career that you want to pursue, or a goal that's left in your professional career?
Yeah, I mean, my goal is to improve myself every day and to be able to keep breaking barriers. And, you know, there's nothing that any boundaries that I put on myself. If it's a hurricanrana, I'll do it. If it's dive over the top rope, I'll do it. If it's coming off the top rope, belly to belly off the top rope, I'll do it. And if people look, man, you can't do that. You're like, yes, I can, because as long as I keep working hard and keep myself healthy and my mind is strong, there are no barriers. And so for me, it's just continuing to keep pushing the boundaries and keep pushing myself to be better. Everything's possible.
Yeah. And speaking of going over the top rope, it's funny that you mentioned that. I was at this past November tapings in New York for Impact. It's that front row. And I watched you perform against Sami Callihan. And I saw you take a leap over the top rope onto Sami. So that was very impressive to see. And I brought my dad with me because I come from a very old school New Jersey, New York, Italian family. So MMA, UFC fighting has really been something I've been brought up in. And Ken Shamrock is a name that's very well known around my household and my family. So I brought my dad to watch that, and we were just in awe watching the main event, Shamrock and Callahan going at it, and then Shamrock goes over the top rope. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, well, like I said, I enjoy it. I'm having fun with it. You know, I don't put any boundaries on myself. And I know the guys that I'm with Impact, they appreciate the efforts that I'm putting in. But at the same time, we all appreciate everything that we're all doing, because we're all in that. Literally, not when you got people telling you that, but we're literally in this together. Impact Wrestling, the wrestlers, the fans, the people in the office, we're all in it together, man. We're here to make this thing something special.
That's something you can definitely tell too, as a fan in my position from the outside, where it's a team effort. It's team building, in a sense, where everyone's doing their part, and you can see that backstage. You got Scott D'Amore in segments, and you can see what he's doing for the company. And you got other people all over just really working together to make it happen. And like we said in the beginning of the episode, it's working, because Impact is in that conversation at the top of wrestling right now.
Yeah, and we understand that too. We know where we're at, and we can't get comfortable. You know, we got to keep working hard, because everybody that I know that at least that I'm connected with there, we all know that this is a journey. It's not going to happen overnight. But as long as we keep taking steps forward, we keep going forward, and we don't have setbacks. And if we do have a setback, we overcome those, and we keep making movements forward. And we all understand that. And so I'm very happy to be where I'm at, because I think we all know what we're in for, and that when we step in the ring, we are in control of whether this is going to make it or not make it. In our minds, there's no question we're going to make it, because we're in control.
Yeah. And to kind of put the icing on the cake here, is there something that you want to tell your fans, people who are listening right now, people who may not know, younger fans who may not know who Ken Shamrock is, fans who've been around who know exactly who you are? What is that message you can say, or you can give the fans, especially before this big weekend you have ahead of you?
Yeah, you know, I always like to try to give people some motivation in their own lives by the things that I've done to help me be successful in mine. And what I have to say is that, you know, it's a simple fact that if you get knocked down and you get up, if you get up more times than you get knocked down, you're going to succeed. I mean, it's just, it's numbers, right? I mean, you think about it. If I get up every time and I keep moving forward. But here's the key to that. When you get knocked down and you get back up, make sure you have a focus on what you're going after. Don't just get up and then do circles and not know where you're going. Get knocked down, you get back up, have a focus.
That's a great piece of advice. I appreciate the work that you've done throughout your whole career, inside and outside of the ring. Like I told you, I come from a family who you're very well known. You're a part of my family. So I appreciate the work that you've done and currently are doing. Congratulations on a big weekend coming up, Impact Wrestling Hall of Fame, competing on the card, a lot of stuff going on for you right now. I want to thank you for taking the time to do this interview, talk some wrestling, talk about real life stuff. And I just thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, listen, I appreciate you having me on. I want to say thank you to all the fans for the support over the years. But we ain't done yet.
It's exciting, man. I'm ready for this weekend. Bound for Glory on pay-per-view and Fight TV. Ken Shamrock goes into the Impact Wrestling Hall of Fame. Biggest night of the year for Impact. And Ken Shamrock's face is all over it. So I appreciate it. And we will see you on Saturday.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
Thank you very much.
Bye. Let's go.